Eugene, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're here for you. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, our radio lives right here. We're going to answer your questions, solve your legal problems on any legal subject that you want. You know the drill. Just give us a call. Tell us your issue, your problem. We're going to answer your questions, solve your problems. 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. We're ready to go for you. Yesterday we did a show on workers' compensation, part two in a two-part series. And if you've got anybody there, if you've been injured on the job or know anybody that has, you need a copy of our book. They need a copy of our book. It's free. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Download the free ebook, The Definitive Guideline on Workers' Compensation in Colorado. You can also get any of our other books for free. And if you want a hard copy, all you have to do is let us know. You can call the studio right now. Tell Ryan, he'll take your information down, 303-713-8255. You go to our website. It's an information loaded website. By the way, you can listen to all of our audio podcasts there. You can listen to the podcasts of this show. They're loaded every week. You can listen to the podcasts of our injury shows. They're loaded every week. And we have video podcasts as well. And there's a button on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can hit it if you what you need to know, what you need to do in your very, very first phone call with the insurance adjuster once you've been injured. Or if they call you, what are you going to do? You going to sign their forms? Here, you know what they usually say, we got to send over a few forms to you. Will you please sign them? Those are deadly forms. Highly trained adjusters. They know what to do. They know how to get your information. Do you have to do that? And you need to know. What can you say? You need to know. What do they have the rights to get? You need to know. It's right there on our website, championsofthepeople.com. And, by the way, there's a feature and a button on our website that if you hit that button, it tells you what to do today, right now, to prepare for an accident. You don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. But I've done it. And, by the way, as I've said many times before, if you want a copy of my own deck sheet that I have on my own personal insurance policy, I'll give it to you. All you got to do is call and ask. Right now, joining us live, KHOW's Martin. Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How you doing, Martin?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I've got a question about settlement tactics used by insurance companies, and it's called offer of settlement. I guess you guys are familiar with that.
Oh, yeah. Statutory offer. Settlement.
What I'm really concerned about, I think a lot of people don't understand that if they get involved in an automobile accident hurt, and even though they had valid claims, et cetera, the amount of damages that they incur could actually backfire on them, because if the defendant goes ahead and early on in the game offers, submits an offer of settlement for a certain amount, and that plaintiff, the injured party, is unable to get a judgment that exceeds that offer of settlement that was tendered early on, that the plaintiff, the injured party, could actually be held, be held to that difference. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Let me jump in here. Let me give an example.
A lot of people don't understand the offer of settlement situation.
Let me give an example, and Brad can take off on it. So it's called a statutory offer of settlement. Let's say you had to file a case because they wouldn't even pay you, which is typically what happens. So let's say they make the statutory offer of settlement of $40,000 in your case. Brad, take it away.
Yeah, and you know, actually, I wanted to throw in. Gary, you and I did a show, two or three weeks ago for our Sunday morning show, talking about interest and costs.
Right.
And I think it's probably on our website by now, or be close to it. But Martin, you bring up a great topic. And the reason is because, okay, they make a statutory offer settlement of $40,000. In every case, you have a thing called costs. And people sometimes don't understand that. There's two things, meters, that are running when you hire a lawyer. First of all, it's the lawyer's hours, the time the lawyer's putting on the case, which is what he gets paid for his time and his efforts. And then you have the other thing is costs, and that's money that the lawyer's having to put out of pocket, or the client's putting out of pocket, to be able to pay for different things. Like filing the complaint and making a jury demand and serving the case is usually going to be about $500.
So procedural costs.
Right, procedural costs. Well, also experts. If you've been hurt and you have to have your doctors come in, doctors now charge anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 per appearance. So some doctors charge as much as $2,500 to $5,000 per hour for appearance.
Now, this also applies to the opposing side, correct?
Right, and the other side is getting their doctors lined up, and they've got their costs, and that's costing money, too. Every time you file anything with the court now, it costs you money. You have a filing fee that you have to pay. So your costs are building up, and in a case that goes through trial, it's not rare to have the costs hit $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on each side. Each side has spent that much for experts, for filing fees, for a different kind of research, for a different kind of work they've done, for accident reconstruction, for all the work that's required. It can get that high. Sometimes it's as low as maybe $10,000 to $15,000, but I've never seen it below $15,000. Not anymore, anyway.
Rarely, yeah.
So usually the prevailing party gets taxable costs. So if I'm the plaintiff's lawyer, Martin, I represent you, you were hurt in an accident, I go in and get you even $1, I get all the prevailing costs.
But that offer of settlement throws a monkey wrench in it.
Right. Now, as Gary said, let's say they made the $40,000 offer of settlement to you, Martin, and it's under statute 1317202 is the statute. Now what happens is I've got to beat $40,000. If I don't beat $40,000...
Meaning a jury verdict.
In the jury verdict, if when I go to court...
And the jury's never told about this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
go ahead. And if you don't beat it, what happens?
Jump in. The jury's never told about it. If I don't beat the $40,000, I now don't get my costs. I can't get them. And so I lose those costs, and now I've got a different situation here. Now I'm facing the problem of not being able to recover my costs. So it becomes a whole new ball of wax as far as trying to value the case.
Well, it's a statute lobbied and paid for by the insurance industry and those on that side of the coin because they want to put pressure on the injured victim. So let's just put this in proper perspective. You're at a stop sign or a stoplight. You're viciously rear-ended at 45 miles an hour. The insurance company doesn't care. They make you an offer of $10,000 when your medical bills are $25,000. Take it or leave it in your face, and then you have to file a lawsuit. Then they call you greedy, and they call your lawyers greedy. And then, somewhere in the case, they make the statutory offer of settlement of $40,000. And if the jury verdict returned by the jury doesn't beat $40,000, you, the person who got rear-ended, have to pay the defendant's costs. How do you like that one?
Even though you could be the prevailing party.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the example, you got a $40,000 offer of settlement. You go to trial, let's say you get $35,000. The jury doesn't know about the statutory offer of settlement. So then you didn't beat the $40,000 in the jury verdict, and the jury doesn't even know about it. And then they say, you were rear-ended. You're going to pay the costs on the insurance company.
So that means the prevailing party actually becomes a losing party.
Prevailing party, you won at trial, you got a verdict in your favor, and you lose.
Oh, chances are you're not going to end out ahead. So it makes a whole new strategy. It makes you have to consider everything completely different.
So really, the defendant attorneys, they can submit an offer of settlement early on so they can keep building costs very quickly.
Oh, yeah, because it doesn't count. None of the costs that you're going to lose or that you're going to have to pay on the defendant, because you got to pay the defendant's costs then. None of those costs happen until after the statutory offer settlement time has expired. And that statutory offer settlement has to be made and has to last for 14 days.
And in the best
injury you sustained in the accident really pales compared to what could happen to you in terms of like the offer settlement situation.
Exactly.
You might end out owing them money.
That's right.
And in my best English that I can use, ain't that grand. Thanks for the call, Martin.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, take care, Martin.
All right, the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. Our law firm is Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We are here to help you on any legal question, any legal subject. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome
welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, welcome. KHOW, KRDO, KEZZ 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs. How you guys doing this morning? We got you covered north of here, south, east, west. We're ready to go. 303-713-8255. You've got an auto accident. You've got a claim with your own insurance company. They won't pay you. You've got another example of a... You got hail damage on your roof, your insurance company won't pay you. Or they say that it's not worth X, it's worth Y, which is much lower. They won't do it. They unreasonably delay. They deny. They send their people out there. They say it's not really worth this much. It's really something else. Brad, this is your own insurance company we're dealing with. It doesn't matter if it's a car accident. If you're dealing with your own insurance company, it doesn't matter if it's a home property damage. It doesn't matter if it's hail damage, wind damage. If you're going to make a claim, they owe you special duties. So let's talk about that just a little bit.
Well, let's go to, we've had a lot of hail damage lately. We've had a lot of property damage. We have some flooding and we've had some problems. And let's talk a little bit about that. And, you know, we're not talking about small dollars, folks. We have in our case right now, or in our office right now, a case where the adjusters initially wanted to pay the homeowner $3,000, and then when the homeowner complained, they came out and said, okay, we'll give you $4,000 to cover the damage that supposedly happened to his property from a hailstorm. Now we're talking $3,000 and $4,000 for the damage, and that's what they were going to give him. And if he would have relied just on those adjusters, that's all the more he would have gotten. But when it gets other people out there, other professionals that looked at the house, that looked at the roof, that looked at the windows, that looked at the different things that were going on, the damages were $140,000. $140,000. Now, that case is in litigation, but let me tell you, when that was pointed out with all the different appraisers we got out there, all the different estimators, all the different professionals that came out there, that was pointed out to the insurance company immediately increased their payment to him to $94,000. So just by doing that, the homeowner got an extra $90,000. We're still fighting over the remaining $50,000. But what I'm trying to point out is that you've got to be really careful when you have the insurance company having their adjusters, their estimators, their people coming out and looking at the property and trying to tell you what the damage is, if that's all you're relying on. You've got a lot of problems in these property damage, and when these hailstorms come through, when if somebody's been subject to a fire and damage to their house through fire, or when you get some of these floodings that come through, if the insurance is there, you've got to get yourself professionals who come out and give a good look and understanding of what the damage is to the property.
You know, and let's put it in the proper perspective. Let's put it in context, because now you're dealing with your own insurance company. They owe duties to you. You owe duties of cooperation to them, but they owe duties to you. Where in the normal situation, if you're like in an auto accident, the liability insurance company doesn't owe you any duty, but your own insurance company owes you duties. So there's an entire body of law that we can't even cover in a couple of days on common law bad faith practices by your own insurance company. And there's now statutory bad faith remedies against your own insurance company when they don't pay you or don't pay you properly or deny or delay the payment. So you got common law bad faith law, you got statutory bad faith law. So is your insurance company operating in good faith with you, or are they operating in bad faith? And there are remedies now both in common law and statutory law.
Well, I think last time I looked, there were about 60 different areas where the insurance company owes you a duty of good faith, and the insurance company may violate that duty of good faith and not properly represent you and take care of you. We hear all these advertisings and all these statements from the insurance companies that you're in good hands with them. They're going to take care of you. They adjust their claims, that they've been there. They've experienced where these claims have come in and how people's property or people have been injured, and they know how to take care of it. Or the click, and there's somebody there to take care of your claim, and they're going to pay you. Well, that's not that's good advertising, but a lot of times that's not what happens.
And so, when they delay you or deny, then there's statutory remedies with regard to that. You need to know that. Property damage claims are significant. They are very important. They can ruin your life, just like an injury claim can.
Right now, join us live, KHOW's Rodeo Doc. Good morning, Rodeo Doc. What's going on?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. We're just getting ready to go work the Pikes Peak or Bus Rodeo next week.
Rock and roll. Here we go, buddy.
Yep, I'm excited for it. But I wanted to touch on a subject that just doesn't seem to get much attention in terms of motor vehicle crashes.
Okay.
And this is the elderly. And there's a study in the Annals of Emergency Medicine 2015 discussing the persistence of pain in older adults discharged from the ER. And what they're finding is that these people have about a 73% increase of symptoms compared to a non-traumatized population, manifests itself largely as a decrease in their ability for physical activities and activities of daily living. And a lot of times it seems like the elderly in car crashes kind of poo-pooed just for being old or kind of, you know, set off to the side. It's not the same sort of treatment that, you know, might happen to the 30 and 40-year-olds as far as how they get their care. And that gets complicated by the presence of Medicare and how you can use Medicare to get treatment. But if you get a settlement, then the money comes back out of that to replace Medicare.
Right. You know, you're exactly right. The law says that, like, you're injured in a car accident. What the insurance company wants to say is that, you know, you should have been a 19-year-old bodybuilder with 1% body fat, and if you'd have been in training and do yoga every day and do all this, you wouldn't have been injured. But we're dealing with maybe somebody that's 54, 63, 42, doesn't matter. But the law says that the tortfeasor, meaning the wrong person, the person that's in the wrong, the person's at fault, and their insurance company have to take the victim as they find them, meaning in the current present condition, both mentally, physically, and so just maybe they're a little bit elderly, maybe they've got more years, and they're more vulnerable, but they have to take them into consideration. And they can't just say, we wish you were somebody else. You know, I got to tell you, one of my favorite lines in when I'm doing closing argument in a jury trial on an injury case is I say, this side of the room over here, this table over here, the defense table over here, because I can't mention the word insurance, this defense table over here, they hit this person. What they hit a truck full of eggs. That's the example I use. What they really wanted to do was hit a truck full loaded with steel, and they wouldn't have injured anything on the steel. But they hit a truckload full of eggs because they're more fragile, they're more vulnerable, and now they don't want to pay it. They say it should be a truckload full of steel that we hit, and we're sorry.
Yes, and the elderly just aren't a truck full of steel. You know, they're more likely to have problems just from the get-go. And I think that there's just kind of an attitude of, well, they're old, we don't have to treat them as much, or, you know, take the right kind of care, the time to work out the difference between their problems and the crash problems, and just build a good way of taking care of them instead of just, oh, they're old.
You know, Rodeo Doc, a question I've got on that, because we do see that. It's the thin skull doctrine we deal with, or aggravation of pre-existing condition, but mainly it's thin skull when we're talking about elderly. This is just they're more predisposed to injuries. But how does that deal with, for instance, when we have Medicare, Medicaid, or different entities determining how many sessions of chiropractic care they're going to allow that person?
Yeah, that, I think that becomes a real problem, and what, at least with my patient population, I do my best to steer them away from getting their care under those kinds of providers, to look towards their med pay if they've got it, or to look towards working with attorneys so that they can go against the causing party. And there are a couple reasons for that. One, you get limitations on actual professional care, but you also have limitations on adjunct therapies that particularly Medicare won't allow you to use on these people because they just flat won't pay for them. And so if you have the opportunity to pursue a lien or to pursue MedPay, which everybody should have, the ability to care for people, to get them the right care, it expands exponentially.
And it becomes a real problem because the basis of our cases and where we start is really when somebody comes in our office is how are we going to get this person significant and sufficient medical care?
Sure.
And to be able to do it, we've got to be able to show that the injury's there. And we've got to be able to show that it's appropriate they'd be getting this kind of care, that it's reasonable and necessary and usual and customary. And it really becomes a problem when we try and get them things like physical therapy or chiropractic care and get them some modality that's going to address what you said is the continuing pain that they have from the accident.
Yeah, and this study seems to show that that's at a pretty high rate. I mean, 73% is certainly above average, and it's well into the area of, wow, it's quite common, and it needs to be addressed in that fashion. Realize that is, for the treating docs and the families and lawyers that, hey, this is happening out there at a rate that's probably not well enough appreciated.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we appreciate that study. We appreciate your call, Rodeo Doc. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Hey, where's that Pikes Peak Rodeo?
Pikes Peak or Bus Rodeo at the Penrose Stadium, Colorado Springs.
Rock and roll for the rodeo.
Great, buddy. See
Thank you.
There. Take care.
Bye, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. Couldn't get any better than this. 303-713-8255 because we are the champions of the people. You know the drill. You know who we are. Champions of the people. Bell and Pollock. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We've been doing this show for years to help you, the community, to help the individuals. That's what champions of the people do. 303-713-8255. 713-8255. And in the mountains, you call 970-457-1009. We're here ready to go for you. And right now, we're going to talk to Eric from Catlins. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. What's going on?
I got a couple specials to run by you for the week. Our breakfast special is going to be our oatmeal French toast. Now, that's regular French toast. We're going to roll that in old-fashioned oatmeal oats. We're going to griddle that to a golden brown. It's a really, really good special. And our lunch special is going to be a grilled croissant sandwich. You get your choice of ham, turkey, or roast beef that comes with cream cheese, lettuce, tomatoes. You can add our homemade chips to that or the waffle fries that we serve for only a dollar or more. That's going to be our lunch special for the week. And don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, it's an all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And it's a little warm out there. We got the tents up. We got the umbrellas up. We got the bottomless mimosas for $10 flowing. So come on down, cool off, hang out at Catlin's. Come and have a good time this weekend.
All right, Eric. You know what? Sometimes I dream about that green chili sauce.
green chili sauce. You make it from scratch, and there is no pork in it. A lot of people ask if there's meat in the green chili sauce. There is no meat in it. You don't see that too often, so that's an added plus for all those that don't like that.
Hey Eric, it seems to me like the only way to beat this heat for the deck is to, start about now with those mimosas and just keep going.
they're already out there. It's already started.
Hey, they're bottomless, and it seems to me like that's about the only time. But when the heat starts coming, you're ready to go home and take a little nap.
Right, or jump in the pool, right?
Eric, yeah. Where are you located?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's the Glendale Shopping Center.
What's the name of your restaurant, Eric?
That is Catlin's.
Adam, baby, you'll love it every bite of the way.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you, ready to go. Answer your questions on any legal subject, even though we're injury attorneys. Did you know that in jury trials today, we got an injury case there. You're sitting as the juror. Let's put yourself as the juror. You're the juror. Every juror, almost every witness, they get to write down the questions, ask the question. I would say 80%, 90% of the time, they would ask the question, put it down in writing, is there any insurance in this case? Any insurance. Question goes up to the judge. The judge says, I'm sorry, I can't answer this question. So he sets it aside. And the next witness and the juror asks the same question. So the rule is, you can't bring up the word insurance. You're not supposed to let the jury know that there's insurance covering this other person. There's an insurance company paying that defense lawyer over there for this person. That person, who they want you to feel sorry for, doesn't have to pay anything, doesn't do anything. If there's a settlement, they don't pay for it. The insurance company does. If there's a judgment in favor of the injured plaintiff, the defendant doesn't pay anything. The insurance company does. They don't pay for the lawyer. They don't pay for the costs. They don't pay for the judgment. They don't pay for the settlement. Nobody knows that. Nobody hears that. You can't say all that in court. They want you to think that what these greedy people over here, this injured person that's greedy and their lawyers are greedy, what they really want to do is recover money from this 19-year-old girl who made a mistake, or this 63-year-old driver who shouldn't have even been driving. That's what they want to do. That's not true. There's an insurance company there. You can almost assume every case that goes to trial, there's an insurance company over there. Brad, let's go back to this bad faith insurance thing, because there's common law bad faith. There's statutory bad faith law. How does this help the individual, the homeowner, the person trying to get their bills paid, the person trying to recover for their injuries, trying to get their medical bills paid? They won't pay MedPay. They refuse to. They delay it. They deny it.
Well, the main place that's going to really make a difference that you've got to understand is it puts some teeth in your ability to get your claims paid on a timely basis from your own insurance company. Once upon a time, before the bad faith was there, we used to always have common law bad faith, and we've had previous shows where we've talked about common law versus statutory law. But, you know, when we talk about the bad faith, we now have where you can collect two times the covered benefit if they breach their duty of good faith that they owe to you, the insurance company. What does that mean? That means the insurance company now, instead of saying, well, we're not going to pay, or we're going to pay less, and if you catch us, we go, oh, we're sorry, and we just pay the amount that we otherwise would have had to pay, now can be subject to having to pay two times the amount that they would have otherwise had to pay. That's a big deal to insurance companies, and they start looking at it a little bit more, and they start trying to pay attention to it. So they try to address the claim differently. However, you know, the bottom line is, and we've talked about this many times, insurance companies don't like to pay claims. They don't like to pay claims at all. They will try to pay the minimum amount whenever possible. They try to reduce the amount you're getting paid. That's important to them, like in a car accident case, because if they can pay less on the damage to the car, they have a chance that they're going to be able to minimize the personal injury that you have also. So the bottom line is that because they don't like to pay the claims, they still try to pay as little as possible. They try and delay your claim, and they try to avoid your claim.
I'll tell you what, if they save $1,000, think about this. Excuse me, if they pay $1,000 or save $1,000 on each claim and there's a million claims, what do you got? Who wants to do the math on that this morning? Because that stupefies me. So this is the whole thing. There's programs out there. Was one program called Bring Back a Billion. I mean, bring back $1 billion to this insurance company. That was called Bring Back a Billion. There's another one called ACE, Advanced Claims Excellence. These programs are designed. You see, the claim department of an insurance company is not supposed to be a pure profit center. The claim department is supposed to be based on statistical, actuarial, underwriting risks. And if there's a loss, pay it. And so now we have statutes that say if they unreasonably delay you or unreasonably deny you payment, then they can be held liable in addition to common law bad faith for statutory bad faith. So, all right, if you want any of our free books, you can call right here to the studio, 303-713-8255. If you want an accident assistance packet to put in your glove box, call Ryan right here. Do it. You can contact our law firm. If you want an ebook, you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Download for free any of our books, an ebook. You can get a hard copy if you just tell us you want a hard copy. And what are you going to do today to increase your UIM coverage? And if you want to see my own personal declaration sheet on my own personal car policy, I'll send it to you. That's what you've got to do. There's your guideline. You got to buy as much as you can afford, period. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. Okay, so Brad, let's talk about this, what we did the show on the workers' compensation yesterday. I think what most people don't understand, if you're injured on the job, it doesn't really matter under that statute if it's your fault or not. And that might seem harsh, but they took away a lot of your remedies into that statute. But if you're injured on the job, like if you're a roofer and you don't have your safety belt on, you can still recover. Your benefits are going to be reduced. But let's talk about this fault situation.
Sure. There's two things. First of all, if you're injured on the job, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. If you're, let's say you're driving a car on the job, or you're driving on the job, and you're to blame for the accident, you got hurt. Well, under normal circumstances, you may not get anything. Under work comp claims, you're able to collect for your injuries. You're able to collect for the money you've lost or the medical bills you have. You're able to collect your average weekly wage, or 2/3 of it, to get paid, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. So there are opportunities to be able to collect money through work comp to get your a fair amount paid for your injuries.
Right. So if you're injured on the job, and we published a whole book on that, the Definitive Guideline in Colorado on workers' compensation, and all the tricks are listed in this book. All the traps are listed in this book. You know, one of them is you're injured on the job, you report your claim, and they send you to a work comp doctor, but they never officially open the work comp claim so that they have a perfect safety record, and you don't know they didn't open it up. And you don't know the insurance company doctor is going to say you're good to go back to work. Go ahead, suck it up. And I'm not going to put any restrictions on you as the doctor, and I'm going to say you're good to go. But you know you still have symptoms. You know you still have problems. You know you can't do your job. Maybe it's construction. Maybe it's on the dock. Maybe it's loading. Maybe it's in the office. What do you do when the rain sets in? Champions of the people.
We got John on line one. Get to him right after the break.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Pull up a chair. Get your legal coffee, your legal bagel. It's time to hold school. We're ready to go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Right now, joining us live is John from Littleton on the homeowner's claim. Good morning, John. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
I recently had a little bit of storm damage, you know. So we had some broken fencing, gates, trees, some roofing stuff, all the normal kind of storm damage.
Right.
We called the insurance company. They came out like within days and gave an estimate and sent me a check. And so in the process of trying to get the repair done, especially on the fencing work, I've gotten estimates that are like twice what the insurance company says. And so I sent them that estimate, and they said, well, I don't know if we're going to pay that much. You're going to have to send us more details. So I asked the contractor. The contractor says, this is my estimate. This is the legal estimate in Colorado. You know, I'm not going to do any more. And I've had that pulled to me more than once, and I don't know how to get the insurance company to pay.
Well, it's going to take having to go underneath the policy, and there's a thing called appraisal where you can demand that they take a look at it under appraisal. A lot of times they're going to tell you that doesn't apply, the appraisal part of the policy, at which point then you're going to have to start making demands that they explain their appraisal. Did they give you a copy of their estimate? Did they show you how it broke down?
They did.
And did your contractor look at it and compare his estimate to that one?
Yes, and they said they were just, their costs were too low and not able to be met.
Well, you say your contractor, and I don't blame your contractor for refusing to reduce the amount. Your contractor
right. Shouldn't. Correct.
The question is, will your contractor back you as far as saying this is what the items actually cost, this is what the material costs, this is what's got to be done?
I'm going to say no, because you know how these guys are. They're just going to go to the next job.
Right. So, you know, in that case, we're probably going to have to get you another adjuster or estimator to come out and take a look at it and talk about the pricing. Where did your contractor price the goods? It sounds like the big argument here is they didn't price the materials appropriately.
Well, and here's the fencing is the one I'm having the trouble with, the
right.
fencing repair.
Right.
Because everybody who wants to repair the fence says, I'm only giving you a bottom line estimate, because that's how our industry works. I don't break it out to labor and material.
Right.
And the insurance company says, well, I want to see it in labor and material. I said, these guys don't do that.
Yeah. And so what happens is they hang you up because they do something that won't happen. We're probably going to want to talk to you to get you some people that will come out there and give you an estimate to try and break it down. We'll look at the insurance claim and find out. John, let me ask you something, though. With that kind of damage, you say it damaged the fence, I presume you had roofing damage also.
Well, so in this case, it was the storm had some wind that broke two gates, and it broke some limbs off a tree that hit another part of the fence and broke that, as well as roofing damage to a shed, not to the main home.
So, right. So it was wind damage more than hail.
Oh yeah, it wasn't hail; it was wind.
Okay, yeah, and so this can be quite a bit of a problem as far as doing this. You're in Littleton area. Yeah, let's get your name and number, and I'll get you hooked up with some people who will come out there and give estimates broken down the way the insurance company wants to see them. Have you been able to get any of the fence people to start working on the fence? No. Sure they're all waiting to say, well, we don't want to do anything until we're certain the money's there.
Well, I'm the one that's saying wait.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put out the money, and the insurance company's not going to pay for it.
Right. Well, let's talk about the pure law in this situation, because this is a legal show. Let's talk about the pure law. So you're dealing with a classic example of an insurance company saying, well, we need this, we're not going to accept that, et cetera. Now, the law says that if they unreasonably delay you or unreasonably deny you, unreasonably, okay, and so then the devil's in the details, because you got to dissect legally exactly these things. Well, we need this. Is that reasonable? Some of those questions might be. Do they reach an unreasonable point? Obviously, many times they do. So yeah, if you got them, if you gave them an estimate that's broken down, well, we satisfied that. Then they're going to come up with maybe and say, we want something else. That's not good enough. The other thing that you can do, John, and we'll be glad to help you, but the other thing that you can do, and everybody listening, was when the insurance company says, you know, your property damage is only worth $4,000, and your contractor says worth $30,000, then you can say, okay, who's your contractor? We'll use yours. You send them out here, and they can fix all this for $4,000, and you pay them $4,000, and see if they can find a contractor. And many times, you know, saying it that way, they can't do it. And then they say, well, no, we just pay you the money. We don't hire a contractor. We just pay you the money.
The problem you got is that's exactly what you want to do, except you want to make sure you have quality workmen working on your fence.
Correct.
How much difference are you talking about between what the insurance company wants to pay and what the fencing contractors want?
The fencing contracts are right at $2,000, and the estimate was right at like $800.
Yeah, so they think that over $1,200, you're not going to fight; you're just going to give up. And you know, Gary talked about the numbers before. So if they can get 100 people to give up on $1,200, that's a lot of money for them. And they think that you're just going to bite the bullet and give up. And that's where we have to put them on notice of the fact that they're acting or they could be acting in bad faith. When they start seeing that, now they realize, well, wait a minute, we may have to give this guy $4,000 rather than just $2,000, because the covered benefit's $2,000, and we may have to give him $4,000 because we're acting in bad faith. And it makes them start turning it around as far as what's going on.
And the statute says that if they're in bad faith by unreasonably delaying or unreasonably denying, they have to pay two times the amount of the covered benefit. That's right out of the statute, the covered benefit. So I think we can give you some help, John, and we'll be glad to do that. If put you on hold if you give Ryan your information, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll call you this week.
Hey, John, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
All right, too, same to you. Ryan, please take down his information. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Hello, Steamboat Springs, Colorado Springs, north, south, east, west. We're here for you. 303-713-8255. Our books, do you want them? They're free. One book, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice. Once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. It's got in there how to hire an attorney. What do you look for in an attorney? What are the myths and the realisms in the accident insurance issues and business? What about that? Another book, The Definitive Guideline on Workers' Compensation in Colorado, has all the traps, everything and the tricks. You know, and I covered one before. They don't really open up a claim. How about the fact that you go to the work comp doctor and they release you back to work and you still got big symptoms, problems? You're good to go. How about the fact that they send you to their company doctor down the hallway? They never open a claim, but they have a little sign that says, welcome and congratulations, workers. We have 471 days of injury-free, safe workplace. Well, yeah, but you had 33 claims in the past year and a half that you didn't really open. It's full of all these traps. You get taught what to do. You get your eyes wide open. And the other book, Cowards of the Street, called Cowards of the Street Hit and Run, everything you wanted to know about a driver that either hit and runs or has no insurance at the scene, or, you know, Brad, as we've seen before, they give you their insurance card and you call up and it's expired.
You know, quickly, I want to point out, too, listen, if somebody is going, let's say they're going the wrong way down the street and they cause you to veer off and be damaged and injured and they take off, just because they didn't make contact with your car does not mean you don't have a right for an underinsured or an uninsured motorist claim. You know, if somebody forces you off the road, doesn't mean you don't have a right for an uninsured motorist claim. You know, that's not the way it works. I want you to understand that, because there could be a claim there.
Right, could be. So, you know, that was a big area of law, a long line of law. Do you have to have contact to make a claim? No, you don't have to have contact. Insurance companies didn't like it because they said, wait a minute, that's going to create a lot of fraud. Supreme Court of Colorado said, nope, that's good enough. You do not have to have contact. Another area of the law. Listen, go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Information loaded. All of our podcasts there. All of our videos are there. Our radio shows are there. Our injury shows are there. And this show is there. Plus special buttons to give you special information. And if that's not good enough, you just call us and ask us. Why? Because we are your champions of the people.